2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. It says in verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing that we have this great ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not faint or we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor dishandling the word deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden to them that are what? To them that are lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, let a man so consider us as of stewards or servants of Christ, and stewards of the hidden truths of God, the mysteries of God, that's the gospel of Christ. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. So he uses the word steward, that is, we are servants of Christ. Christ decides the decisions we make, how we live our lives here on earth. Okay, Paul will say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Right? So we serve, you know, a servant is somebody that does not have his own say, or his wishes are subject to his master's commands and policies and rules. Okay, so the servant is made to serve the master. We are not servants of ourselves. We are servants of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Paul says he has made us able ministers. Hallelujah. So you see that's the word of God. That's the word of God. So at a time like this, Christmas Eve, we must always make sure that the word of God is available. We don't say, oh, let's stop preaching. You know, let everyone go and have a break. You know, enjoy. What you're doing is you're being carnal. Actually, you're actually being carnal when you... because it's Christmas season, you stop preaching God's word, or your church goes on a break, or your whatever you call it goes on a break. You understand? No, the word of God is to be taught every day. Look at Acts chapter 2 quickly. Acts 2, 42. Let's look at it together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Similar to that. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. It says, and daily, see that word? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not. So notice the word not. Ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ, or Jesus as the... So you know, if you understand the context of this particular text, you would understand, you'd realize that they understood that there was an emergency. There was a critical condition, a critical mandate that was laid on their hands. It was as though the world was ending in seconds. So it was a thing of emergency that they had to preach the word daily, right? Right? Daily in the temple and in every house. They did not cease. So I won't say, oh, now is the festive season, is the time to cool down, is the time to calm down, you know, just losing the stress. You know, this is where people begin to celebrate, eat, and get drunk and engage in all manner of carnalities. You are carnal when you observe days and months and seasons in a carnal fashion. if your celebration of Christmas devoids you of spiritual fervency, you are carnal. Hear me that? If your celebration of God or Christmas is void of your spiritual or is any less efficient or is deficient in level or in degree or in attitude of your spiritual fervency, you are carnal. You are carnal. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. We are on the series Evangelism Abilities. And we know that when we say evangelism abilities, we're not just simply saying, oh, go and preach the gospel to everybody, but there's a logos to it. There's a logos that you must have around the word of God, around the concept of evangelism. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto... See that word? That word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. Now, the pneumaticos comes from the noun pneuma, which means spirit. And the adjectival form of it is pneumaticos. It's like saying in English, if I say red is a color, right? That's a noun. When I say it is reddish. Right, reddish. Or if I say he can run. Okay, no, that's a verb. Or if I use a word like he's fast, it's an adjective. He's fast to describe the nature that something adopts. So when he says, "I cannot speak as unto spiritual," meaning that there's an element that you're lacking. That is your attitude towards something is not spiritual. It is not of the spirit, all right? It is not heavenly in nature. It does not have an attitude that puts the will of God above every other thing. So I couldn't speak unto you as that kind of person, but as unto a carnal person, as unto babes. See, I fed you with milk, not with meat. Right, that word meat is solid food. For hitherto or until now you were not able to bear it, neither are you able to bear it. So the thing is this, it's a Christmas season. This is Christmas Eve once again specifically, and many people will say, oh, now let's just calm down, let's just chill, you know, we've tried, you know, I mean, there's nothing that the devil has done. They even the kingdom of darkness, they are already doing see Christmas. Someone will say they play, hallelujah. You know that Greek word, they play, hallelujah. You know, that's what someone will say. Again, scripture says, for the devil is roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking. It connotes an active service. So, you know, your fervency is every day of the year, every day. You do not cease. You don't say, now is time for relaxing. Even in your celebration, you are still spiritual. You are still praying. You are still fasting. All right. You are still preaching. Amen. It's not that you're not saying, you better watch out, you better not cry, that I find out and take me by. And you're not preaching the gospel, and you're not praying, and you're not, you know, witnessing. You're not studying the word. You've calmed down now. You've put down your soldier caps. You know. Jesus often said, "While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares." He's speaking in a parable. While men slept, there's no time for that. Jesus says, "Anyone that places his hand on a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." Hallelujah. It's not fit. So we are Paul calls us soldiers. He told Timothy, fight a good war. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So even if you're resting, there's nothing bad about resting, about chilling and relaxing and, you know, celebrating. For me, I think it's more about celebration than necessarily spiritual things. To be honest with you, that's what I see Christmas as. Good luck. Amen. So, yes, we say that our evangelism must be scriptural, right? Our evangelism must be scriptural. Our evangelism must be biblical. Our attitude towards it must be spiritual in nature, must be biblical. And the few weeks that we have been teaching or studying, we have been seeing the template that Jesus set for us. If you look at Matthew's gospel, look at it as we have been looking at it quite often. Matthew's gospel chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus, I will read for you. When Jesus came and spoke unto them, King James says, speak unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach. That's the word Matthew told us that. If you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 47, Jesus speaking again, Luke 24, verse 27, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations. Right? So it's a preaching. It's not a dancing. It's not a innovation. It's a preaching. Jesus said, preach. Apostles preached. You won't find it. We're going to look at the book of Acts, just a few accounts, a few records, where we see that the manner, the approach that the apostles adopted in their evangelism. And we see in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, it says, and that repentance and mission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Okay, we'll go to Acts chapter 2. We'll just keep that in your notes. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 2, verse 39. All right, so we'll go into some other places in the scriptures as well. So, but Jesus in Matthew 28, back to Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, teach. That's what Matthew 28 says, means to make, educate, to make students out of the Bible, make students of what God has done, of the kingdom of God, to educate people about God's kingdom, about the kingdom of God that is available to every man on earth. So every man can receive this kingdom, can come into that kingdom. And of course, we know the kingdom is not a place we are to literally ascend to probably in another planet or somewhere in the sky or somewhere up there, but it's a kingdom that is within the believer, where the Holy Ghost dwells in him, God indwells him, and he indwells God, or he dwells in God and God dwells in him, and he's united with God eternally, and he functions by the power, the Spirit of God, eternally. He functions by the grace, the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. And we're going to see a few things that are quite important. So as a minister of the gospel, you should be able to teach the word. As a minister of the gospel, so pay attention to this. That means as believers, we must first of all be able to be schooled, and then to be able to be taught, to teach, excuse me. We should be able to be schooled and to teach, because the disciples were first students. Excuse me. The apostles were first students. The apostles were first students. The apostles of Christ. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the... Excuse me. Says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they were first disciples before they became apostles. Why were they called apostles? Because the word apostles, or it comes from the word apostles, means ones who were sent. Apostle just means someone that is sent, right? Amen. So back to Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 17. Oh, sorry, not 17 now, verse 19. So it says, go and teach, right, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So it tells them specifically an assignment that they should baptize. And I said the word baptize there does not refer to water baptism. We said in John, if you look at what John said, and the reason I came to baptize, look at it. John, okay, let's not, we don't have to look at it for tonight. John said, I do not have to baptize. I came baptizing because I was meant to prepare you for the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's look at it. John chapter 1. Let's just quickly brush through that once again. That's 29. All right. John chapter, verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred which ranks higher than I, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be manifest, verse 31, he should be manifest to Israel. So I came to make prepare your minds about what he would do. How would I tell you what he would do? Because those people around him then, they were not spiritual people. They did not under, they were not their disposition was not to receive and understand, interpret, be interested in spiritual matters, right? So hence he has to use natural elements to communicate with those people, his audience. So he says in verse 31, he says, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I coming baptizing with water. So John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descend on him like heaven, a lot of those things. So look at verse 33. It says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. So which means God asked him to baptize with water. That's specific. So the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he tells us to go and baptize men in his name. So what is the baptism there? It will be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, unless you are born of water, Victor explained that last week, unless you are born of water, which is the Spirit. So to be born of water means to be born of the Spirit, or to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So back to Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 19. So it says, baptizing them in the name of the, Father, like I said, is not the one you put your head in the water. In the name of the Father, one. Put your head again. In the name of the Son, two. In the name of the Holy Ghost, three. Woo! How do you feel? I feel new. You are lying. It's just psychological. Hallelujah. You got scared. Person is carnal. So, I say, why do you baptize? Do you need baptism to be saved? You know, you don't need baptism to be saved, but I just want to baptize, you know, just to show the world, to typify. Why do you need to typify to yourself that you are saved? No, it's to the world. I'm typifying to the world that I am saved. The world is not there before you. As far as we're concerned, is your pastor that's right there in your front. And probably the others that are yet to be saved or baptized. Look at the thief on the cross. Without prayers, without baptism, without any ceremony, without pouring oil on the head, without casting out the historical father's spirits that were pursuing him from his ancestry, without all of the complications and deliverance sessions and new converts class, Jesus said to the thief, after the thief asked him, says, God, would you remember me in your kingdom? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He said, I'm so sorry, it's too late. He said, what's that song again? Had I known, or something like that. I don't remember this. unbiblical songs anymore. Where he said, I will be crying, how'd I know? It's too late. My brother, it's too late. It's too late, it's too late. When they were telling you to repent, so Jesus didn't sing that song for him. You understand? You know, he didn't sing that. But Jesus just said, today you will be. It just shows you God's attitude to save. It means God is, you know, the least expression of faith that a man has towards the Savior is the salvation that God needs, that God will give him. Hallelujah. So somebody does not need to come to church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need to have come to church or to, you know, all of that for you to say that these are the people that God saved. Some people would have just been in the pew. They won't even come out for altar call before they get saved. They don't have to have come out for altar call. Jesus didn't say, okay, hey, you have to come down from that cross and then say after me, Lord Jesus. Me, Jesus. I am a sinner. Obviously that's why I'm here. Amen. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I choose today to take a U-turn, to turn away from my sins. you know, people often say that, which is unbiblical or as well, that evangelism or salvation means you have to recite certain things like you're doing a ritual. say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. But what about if the person is dumb? Dumb, like he can't speak. What about that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. It's the same thing. So if you believe in your heart, you are saved. If you confess with your mouth, you are saved. Hallelujah. You know, you must speak, dear. What if he cannot speak? Speak, say after me. Say after me. Okay, what if he can't hear you? Amen. What if he can't see you? Hallelujah. But God needs the least faith. He needs the least. He does not need that ceremony. Praise God. He doesn't need that. You don't need to say, I turn away from my... So you think for God to save you, you have to stop sinning. So that means he didn't save you. You are the one that you are qualifying yourself to be worthy for salvation. And that is antichrist. That is not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is that man got saved only by faith. Romans 3, look at it. Let's say Romans 3. Let's say Ephesians chapter 5. So Ephesians 2, excuse me. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Look at it. Even when you were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together by Christ. By grace you are saved. Romans chapter 3, for we account that the righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law, that everyone who believeth in him should be saved. So that's Romans 3, 21, 22. All right? So whether it's Jew or not Greek, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, right, to the Greek, and all right, and unto the Jews. Look at it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believeth. Not everyone that has turned away from their sins. Not everyone that has taken a U-turn, has forsaken his old ways. There, say, I give myself away. I don't know, my voice sounds really good this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. You know, it's the grace. Hallelujah. I release it. You can't release grace like that. It has to be, amen, tapped into. Glory to God. That's a joke. Anyway, so, you give myself away so you can use me. And you're so emotional. You cry so hard. And in your heart, you're thinking that, yo, I'm never going to, this Jesus, I'm going to fall. That I've been such a bad person. I will not sin again. You start thinking of all the wrong things you've done. One girl who is now an apostate, so she claims, said that when she was a Christian, which by my assessment of her, she was probably never born again. Why I say probably? Because I know how Jesus loves to save. Because the slightest expression of faith, God would honor it. Amen. But why I said so, she might have not even been born again in the first place anyways, because she probably never knew Jesus from her narration. Now she said when she used to be born again, that after she had just finished doing shit, you know, with men, or yeah, men, because she used to sleep around, you know, she comes to church and then she cries, oh God. But then she says in her heart that she just feels so bad, so condemned, you know, she has hurt God, you know, she has, you know, brought a negative spirit into her life, into her destiny, and you know, so ties, issues, all of that stuff. She said that was the problem with her. That even after that, amen. Excuse me. He said even after that, she will still go back and continue where she stopped from after the service. And she usually cried. She cried. So when people saw her, she said she remember when someone was seen one particular time after she finished doing her business, doing that business. Excuse me, not hers. She said she cried so bad, and someone was asking, "Are you all right?" Sin is an idiot, you know. Evil, the religion is cancer. It's a problem. I'm trying to find the most appropriate word, the suitable word for what I'm trying to express here. It's no religion. It's horrible. It's bad. It's ridiculous. Amen. You know, she kept crying, but she felt that she realized that. But wait, at some point, she said that. But I like this thing. I can't stop it. No matter how much I try, I cannot stop it. So she said that's why she left Christianity. That why would God tell her to stop? And this someone that's crying. So tears is not an expression of faith. See, they cried. No. There's nothing wrong with crying. But crying is not an expression of faith. If the man has not believed that Jesus died for his sins, not that he should repent of his sins. No, Jesus asked us to believe in his finished work. Not that we should repent. You know, people do not know what it means to repent. In the scriptures, the word repent is the word metanoia. Right? Now, we've said that so many times. I'm sure we are aware of this. The word metanoia means to change the mind about something. A mind that has come to the realization or a revelation of something. That's called repentance. Just like you probably thought that Santa Claus existed, right? But as you got older, as you matured, you realized it was just a myth just to cope, help kids to cope with, should I say, make sense out of their childhood, you know, make them feel special, buy presents for them and pretend that somebody somewhere gave it to them. You know, that is just what it was then. But then as you grew up, you realized that Santa Claus never existed, right? That is called repentance. Because from a place of ignorance, you came to knowledge. That's called repentance. That's what, look at Acts chapter 3, look at Acts chapter 2, excuse me. Acts chapter 2, look at it. Acts 2 verse 28. Sorry, Acts 2 verse 38, not 28. Acts 2 verse 38. Are we together? It says, then Peter said unto them, repent! Someone say, yes. You see, it's in the Bible. Repent. He asked them to repent and be baptized. Every one of you, repent of your sins. It says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, repent in the name of Jesus. The people shout, amen. Anyways, that's by the way. So, for the remission of sins, that's the word forgiveness. It's the word aphesis in the Greek. And I've explained that forgiveness does not mean pardon. It means to remove something. Okay? It means to take it out. That's forgiveness, right? That's the theological meaning of the word forgiveness. Forgiveness, as used specifically in the New Testament, means to take out sin, not to pardon it. So for the remission of sins, to remit it and to receive the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. Now, let's reread this again in the correct way. Then Peter said unto them, all right, change your minds, right? And be baptized in what? In the name of Jesus Christ. So when he says be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, what does it primarily mean? He means to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus in Matthew 28 told them to go and educate them about what he had commanded them. Go and tell the world what I have commanded, the things I have taught you, right? So he taught them, and Peter, having explained, if you look previously, you see how he started his exegesis, his explanation, right? He explained what you are speaking in tongues in verse 22. You men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God by miracles and signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered, verse 23, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by lawless hands have crucified and slain him, whom God had raised, and have loosed, that is, destroyed the birth pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by death. For David speaketh concerning him, saying, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be shaken. So he goes to explain this. Men and brethren, in verse 29, he then says, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Then the verse 30, he says, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God sworn with an oath, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to his throne. He says, seeing this, therefore, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. So when he now says, brethren, look at verse. Now, notice he didn't talk about their morals. Now, look at verse. When he says in verse 30, Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know as surely that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. So he's alarming them and letting them see. He's opening their eyes to see that Jesus is that Yahweh, that Jesus is that Messiah, that Jesus is that King that will come through the loins of David, that David spoke of when he said, thou shalt not leave my soul in Hades, the place of the dead. Right? And in your presence there is what? Fullness of joy. People use that for praise and worship, unfortunately. But that is referring to the resurrection. The presence means the resurrection. At your presence, at your resurrection, is the fullness of joy. Alright? So, he said he spoke about them. And then he spoke about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It now says in verse 37, now when they heard this, it did what? It caught to their heart. Because his explanation was convincing. He says, and said unto Peter and the rest of the men and brothers, said, what shall we do? So now that you have told us this, what are we going to do? Look at Peter, then says, repent. That is, believe the gospel. Change your mind. And because they have seen the signs, the signs of speaking in tongues and interpretation and all of that. Believe the gospel, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission of sins. So Christ is the one that remits your sins. You are not the one to undo your sins or to remit yourself from sin. Jesus is the one that cleanses you. He not just cleanses you, he changes your heart. Spiritual growth. Amen. It says, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's not Peter is not saying stop sinning. No. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's not Jesus asked the sinner, asked the thief on the cross, say after me, I am a sinner. Yeah? Please save that for something else, not evangelism. You see that? Hallelujah. Because the Jews already understood the scriptures. So when he told them, repent. Oh, that's true. And 3,000 of them were saved. In the next account in Acts 4, about 5,000 of them were saved. That is when the lame man was brought up to walk in Acts chapter 3. Right? So we see something that evangelism, right, is you announcing what God has done, the availability of eternal relationship, not just relationship, eternal unity with God, the union with God, with the maker of the heavens and the earth, for eternal life. You know, when we say eternal life, people think it's just living forever. No, it comes with the God kind of life. The God kind of life. And by the way, the God kind of life I'm speaking of is not Zoe. Amen. I'm just mean the God kind of life. You know, in John 3:16, it says eternal life. It's the word ionos zoe. The word zoe is not peculiar to eternal life or Christian life, right? It just means life. It doesn't mean someone say I have the life of God. What's the life of God? The life of God is zoe. No, that's not true. It's ionos zoe that is eternal life. Amen. Ionos zoe. Amen. So that's just by the way. So it's for you to believe that ionos zoe, the God kind of life, to have God's wisdom, God's power, God's glory, glory that is beyond the physical, that is not carnal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. So back to Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. So it says, teach, baptizing them in the Father and Holy Ghost. It says, teaching them to observe all the things that I have done, what commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this is not for short people where it says, lo, I am with you. Okay? It's for with everybody. That's what someone said. It says, lo refers to the short people. That's not true. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, now, our evangelism, like I said, in our evangelism, must realize that God is willing to save. Is quicker. He does not need your semantics to save a man. Yeah? Sometimes you might not verbally have somebody acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Right? But they will be saved. I was listening to a brother teaching and expressing. Some of you know him, very popular. He was expressing how that there was a meeting that he was in, and you know, doing all of these things that he does, teaching and all of that. And when there was not anything spectacular about the meeting anyways, but eventually he realized that someone who was a Muslim there got saved, and the person got speaking in tongues after they left. So it's you know, the way God chases after men, you do not even realize it, but he just needs you to go for him. Hallelujah. I remember a minister was saying, I saw Jesus appear to me crying. I said, please, please, please preach. Please go, go. He said he saw Jesus crying. He was crying. He said, please. Jesus is very humble. He's, you know, no, that's the truth about it. That's the truth about it. He's not that one that says, hey, so you're not going, right? No, Jesus is eager. He just wants, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, go and preach the gospel. And then he said there should be a preaching of the word. Now, let's look at something. Let's look at Mark's gospel, chapter 3. Look at Mark's gospel, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Sorry, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. All right. Now, if you look at, let's start from verse 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. It says, and he, that's Jesus, began. So Jesus is in a room now. He's preaching. He began to teach by the seaside. And there was, so I before I read this, sorry, I was making a point. I said, as believers, for you to be able to preach, you must first be a student. You must first be a good student. So that means you must take your Bible study seriously, right? The things that are being taught here, are you taking them seriously? Are you going to internalize them? Are you rethinking on them? Hallelujah, because that's the truth. You know, when you hear a teaching, what that does is that it gives you an opportunity to grow upon it. So where you now grow upon it is where you listen to it again and again, and then you read the Bible, right? And then you pray. That is how you actually grow. If not, you'll be like somebody that only has echoes of light, right? You won't have the light. You won't light. You won't be light. You know, Pastor Shegun will say you'll be touch light. My ear hurts a bit. You know, I was listening to some music early this morning. Trying to listen to, so was my ears, and it was really loud. I don't use earphones at all. I just, you know, some of these things. You know, I forgot. I think I was just out. Hallelujah. That's by the way, brethren. Amen. Okay. Glory to God. So, you must first be a good student of the word. So that means for you to properly raise people, you must be also sound in your teaching. You must be sound in what you're teaching. There's nothing bad. There's nothing, let me say there's nothing, but because there are definitely things that are worse. But it is really bad for somebody to not be capable of evangelizing because the person didn't do their homework. Maybe because out of excitement. Once realize that, oh yes, grace, grace revolution, take over, God punish devil, God punish religion. Like one guy that smoked something came and said, I don't need to cross over, there's no crossover for me, I'm in Christ, I don't live in this world, I'm in, and I said, yes, what you just say, you just said it 1 hour ago. You waited all through the year to say it now. If you're living in eternity, why didn't you say it then? Why now? Just the play. Brethren, hallelujah. So what are we saying here? That you must be well taught. You must have deep roots. You must have, that is, you should have deep roots. And you must be exposed to training. Must be exposed to training. Not just personal training, but you must also train with your own teacher. For example, I am your teacher here. I'm the one that is teaching you guys God's word. So there's no way that you tell me that you want to get the best training out of me, and you will never come to my own physical meetings. You understand? It's kind of unrealistic. It's unrealistic. You understand? So that's just what it is, truly. As a good student, you must be where your teacher is as much as possible, as much as possible, as much as you can. You must be where your teacher is. You must follow. You know, in this age where some of us are scattered abroad, as it is, we must utilize the most reachable means to be part of our spiritual growth sources. Amen. You must be part of it. That is, you must be part of it to the best level possible. You must be part of it, and when you can, right, you make sure that you go for it. Hallelujah. In the times of Paul, obviously, they did not have, in the times of the apostles, the first century Christian, they didn't have social media. So what Paul had to do then was to send letters, and Paul had to then travel, go from place to place, visit people, and ensure that he trains them by himself. So that's just the truth about, that's the truth about it. You understand? There has to be that physical, that physical fellowship for you to gain the best out of it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. It says, and Jesus began to teach, Mark 4, right by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, and da 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 da. Verse 3 says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now he's telling them a parable. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground. You know this parable, where it had much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of the earth, it says, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the other thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit, and other fell on the ground and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So what Jesus is telling here is a parable. What Jesus often did was that if he wanted to say something, he would not directly say it. He would use an analogy to say the same thing. That's what he did. He said, well, he knows why he did that. It says, verse 9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears, let him hear. And when he was done, they that were about him with the 12 asked of this parable, that they tried to understand it. And he said unto them, verse 11, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. That's the secret hidden truth of the kingdom. But unto them that are without, that's the outside, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower soweth the word. So it just explained that the sower soweth the word. It's very important that you see that Jesus is explaining over and over again that our evangelism is the word. Our evangelism is the word. He says, and these. Now, you understand that even when the word is sown, you have people that do not understand it. How much more when you don't use the word? Hallelujah. I've just been really deeply thinking about how we have not understood or practiced what Jesus asked us to do, and we think we can get Jesus's praise. No, that's why we have so many Christians that come out today. We have Christians that claim that Jesus is not the only way. Christians that ask the questions: is sex before marriage a sin? And they say they're not sure. I'm not sure. Or they ask them, is homosexuality a sin? Say, I'm not sure. You see so many, it has become a commercial thing now, you know, LGBTQ, Christianity, and all of these things. You see some of these things, and I just want to say, these are people that are supposed to be Christian. But if you look at their practice of ministry, you realize it was never biblical. It was never biblical. It was much commercial. It was should I say, contemporary, societal, political. You understand? It was not biblical. It wasn't historical Christianity. And when we think that we are wiser than God's instructions, you know, what you must realize is that even the apostles that preached the gospel, they had ideas, they had talents, they had innovative people, they had rich people, wealthy people that could have done what they thought was better. But look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. He says, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Don't you think that the reason you have Christianity today is because people obey the voice of God? Don't you think that if you disobey that voice, that you will lose Christianity? Or you don't think it's possible? You don't think it's possible? You don't think that if Jesus had not died, that would have not been saved? You think Jesus didn't have a choice? Well, we know it will not happen, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. God will fight. He's a winner. He's not a loser. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, they preached the word. The sower ought to... It's supposed to be a giving that your evangelism... When they say win souls, you are not thinking of music for God's sake. You're not thinking of suya nights. Praise night, praise marathon, praise until they are saved. You're not thinking of coffee. Somewhere I was speaking to somebody, you know, these things, they irk me. I can't. Manda Bahaya, Haya, Kaba. The devil will not win. Hallelujah. Jesus is glorified. So, I was speaking with someone and now there's a difference between you're just ignorant and you know the truth but you just disobey, right? And this person was saying that, oh, we want to have, I'm working on a project, you know, that's in terms of like evangelism, working on a project, how we can begin to share coffee, you know, find different strategies to catch people's attention. Fam. Jesus. Have you ever seen when someone is in an emergency? When it's an emergency, that's what happened. It's an emergency. The reason many people do not see it like that because they don't have fire. They don't have the fire of God. They don't have God's power. They are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They are not spiritual. That's why. They don't regard God's word above men's word. They care about the world. And in part of this, part of the people who receive the word, one category of people who receive the word in this Jesus' parable, were those that the cares of this world choked the word. It choked it out. Oh Lord, help us. It choked it out. Kaba, if you notice that in this time there seems to be a recalling. God is trying to hold his preaching to us about this, about carnalities. This is not the church of God. Many people are not born again. They are pseudo believers. They are not born of God. They are not born again. They do not know the Holy Ghost. They do not know the Holy Spirit. They don't know Jesus. They can't even speak in tongues. Don't say, it's not for everybody. The one you can do, I can act drama, you can speak in tongues. Look at what you're saying. Go and speak in tongues in Hollywood. If you can act in Hollywood and act in church, but you can speak in tongues in church but cannot speak in Hollywood, then something is wrong with you that is saying that you can speak tongues, you can act in church. Excuse me. What's wrong with you? Because the gifts of the Spirit are things that come by the new birth, not by nature. It's not something that you are given by birth. That is talent. Talent is for this world. It's for entertainment. God gave us the ability to entertain one another. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, the new birth are eternal realities. You don't substitute them. They're not the same thing. They're not the same. This is what the apostles did. This is what Jesus did, our Savior. And we say, I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you is the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. And we also sing another song that says, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. You are everything. Everything is you. I just want to be more like you. I surrender all. Make me more like you. We sing all these songs. You know? But you don't want to follow Jesus in his pattern of ministry. You think it's archaic. That was then. A believer say that. Oh, you think that Jesus didn't know about entertainment? Yeah. Let me tell you the truth. What saves somebody is not strategy. What saves is the power of God. Kaba. That's if you want to get somebody saved, though. And I didn't say if you want to get somebody, because you can use so many strategies to get people to come to your church. Churchigelism is not evangelism. Evangelism is with an aim to save man and to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Get them speaking in tongues. If a believer does not speak in tongues, we can doubt his salvation. We can doubt it. I didn't say anybody that does not speak in tongues is not saved. No, I said we can doubt. We can. Because we can be wrong that they are saved. They are not saved, excuse me. But essentially, a sign that follows a believer is that he speaks in new tongues. From the Old Testament, you'd realize that everything that God promised to Israel was that he will build his temple in every man. And that when he builds his temple, they will have a new spirit, a new heart, with a new conduct, with a new tongue. So everyone that is in a house of God would also bear the qualities, the abilities of God. So a believer that can speak in tongues is the one that is saved. A believer that cannot speak in tongues is not necessarily not saved. But a believer that does not think that speaking in tongues is necessary, there's a problem in his theology. But a believer that is not saved can never speak in tongues. And it's not rababa. No, you can imitate it for all you like, for all you care. That's not speaking in tongues. But that's by the way. So, I said that this Jesus told us to preach. What saves is power. What saves is the power of God. You can imagine if you try to win Apostle Paul. How would you win him? You just say, let's not preach. Let's do rabbis meet, rabbis get together. Do rabbis get together. You will not even attend it. Because as far as he's concerned, he's serious with serving his own God. He does not have time for rubbish. Paul was a serious-minded person, although in ignorance. Let's do rabbis get together. gathering of the Pharisees. We are meeting at the Sea of Galilee. Everywhere you are coming, come from far and near. Come to no. We're going to be sharing bread and no. Come on. It took the power of God, the prayers of the saints, and the preaching of God's word, the life of the believers, the life that is some of them that had to die, some of them that had to be imprisoned. Some of us, for some people to be saved, you have to give your life. That's the idea of giving our lives to Christ. Because if it means that we die in the process of getting somebody, it's worth it. And it's a joy that we enjoyed what Christ enjoyed. It's a glorious thing. We're going to see in this series that what you suffer here on earth, the spiritual growth you have here will reflect in the new birth. The knowledge of Christ you have here, the same knowledge you carry and go to the new birth. Excuse me, to the resurrection. The same spiritual level you are, na so go dey forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So what you are doing, the work you are doing is eternal. The work we are doing is eternal. The Bible study, the knowledge of Christ is eternal. Hallelujah. We'll close here. Amen. So we'll just wrap up. So what does the scripture say? It says, and these are by the verse 15. So it says he sowed the word, right? So Jesus explained, he said, these are those by the wayside. He said, Satan, they hear the word and Satan takes it immediately. Okay? Why did Satan take it immediately? All right? When they heard it, look at it. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they heard, Satan came and immediately took it away. And now verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Done, done, done. Amen. Woo! And you're just excited. Oh my God. Oh my God. You say, oh, the overwhelming. You're just in your emotions. That's why I don't like all these emotional gospel songs. I don't like them. There's nothing wrong with that. Please, don't get me wrong. I think we can do better. We'll make do with what we have. I'm sorry. We're not making do with what we have. These are gospel songs. But we need to do better. Amen. Because don't rubbish the hard work of saints. Amen. So, now, you understand. So, and these are the likewise which are sown. So the gladness, emotions, but they do not take deep roots. It says, and have no roots in themselves. Verse 17. So, but endure for just a little while. I was a Christian before. But then afterward, when affliction, when their eyes red, they see light. They think, God is not there. God is not true. He's not there. That's why people then change the gospel to start preaching situational things. Motivation. They keep carnal. And that's by the way. It says, or persecution for the world's sake. Immediately they're caused to stumble. See, and then he now says, these are days which are sown among the thorns. He says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of, that's the desires of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown unto the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit 30-fold, some 60. So the point is that as believers, we must allow the word of God to take root. Amen. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and to be set on his candlestick? He says, for there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed, neither is there anything kept secret that it should not be come abroad or come to light. So what he says is that when the word is preached and it takes deep roots in people's hearts, there's light. Light shines over darkness. It reveals everything that's wrong. The person sees clearly and then he follows Christ. It's not deliverance. He follows Christ because he has seen the word. He has seen the grace of Christ. He has understood. He has realized. That's repentance. Repentance is gradual. Amen. Glory to God. For there is not so it says, if any man hears, let him hear. Hallelujah. You have ears and we hear. All right. Then we'll end here. And he said unto them in verse 24, take heed what you hear and with what measure you use. That is, understand what I'm saying. It shall be, it says, which means some measure you use, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that here shall be more given. So what he's saying here is that, okay, let's just read on. It says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. What he's saying here is that when you are hearing God's word and you're taking, internalizing, you grow spiritually, so more is given to you. But if you hear, and you hear little, or you're not allowed to take deep, even the one that you've heard will be taken away from you. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that if you have talent, I don't use it for God, God will take it from you. Okay? So you hear God's word, and you hear it, and
More. You have more. Someone say, I'm afraid to serve God. Just be hearing the word. Just be hearing the word. You will grow. God, Chita, but I cannot. This word is full of corruption. I'm so distracted. How can I serve God? You will grow. Hear the word. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep reading. Keep praying. Just do that. You will grow. It says in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast a seed, you know, that word, into the ground, that's into your heart, and should sleep and arise the next day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, and he doesn't know how. But how did the seed grow? How? I put it in the soil. All I needed to do was put it in the soil and water it frequently. And I didn't even know why. Now it's a tree. It's a whole tree. And I can't even remove it. Some trees cannot even be moved again. Their roots are eternally there. Unless you have to go deep into the earth crust. It's just have to. The word is a seed. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom. The rate. So as the way the rate at which you know the word of God is the rate at which, or the degree to which you will experience the kingdom, the power of God. That's called spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Evangelism is by spiritual. Stop using strategy. Let God do his work. Let it be that they are really saved. I'll end here. I'll end here as we close. All right. If you look at verse 28, it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade and then the ear. After that, the full corn, and in the full corn, in the ear. But when the fruit ripens, it says immediately put out the sickle, and because the harvest is come, right? So that means the harvest means the what you reap of spiritual growth, and that's what you carry forever. And here, and he said, well, this shall we like the kingdom of God, or with what shall we compare, or parable shall we compare it? Shall we picture it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. When it is sown into the earth, it is less, smaller than all the seeds. But when it is sown, it grows and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shooted out the great branches, so that the fowls of the earth, of the air, may lodge under the shadow of it. So that means when a believer hears God's word and he keeps at it, it might look slow. It will grow. It might not look spectacular. Well, eventually, it will grow. God is the one that works both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And on someday, the whole earth will bow down and say, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That means all the birds of the air will take their rest only in the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Glory to your name. We decree that we grow in the knowledge of your Son Jesus. We are growing in Jesus' name. There's no path of stumbling in Jesus' name. We are kept by your power. We not grow less in fervency. We are focused in your work. We receive strength and grace in Jesus' name. Thank you for those I've heard. We just pray for much more depth in their growth, in their understanding of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.